Welcome to the Satellite Evolution Global Podcast Series, where we explore all things satellite. In this episode, we will take a deep dive into how satellite technology is being used to fight climate change. Let's get on with it. So over to you, Hannah and Robert.
Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're looking at something I find really cool.
Yeah.
Satellite tracking and the Internet of Things.
Mm-hmm.
And how they're being used in the fight against climate change.
Yeah.
So I think some people might be surprised to learn that scientists are actually attaching satellite trackers to icebergs.
It's true.
And we're going to find out why.
Yeah.
We're also going to uncover how this same technology is being used to stop illegal fishing, help endangered species, and even track those massive melting glaciers.
It's amazing what you can track with this stuff.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
So it really is all about getting a clearer picture of what's happening to the planet.
Yeah, so totally.
In those hard to reach areas that we can't always get to.
Having eyes where you've never had them before,
it's
pretty amazing.
So before we get to the specifics,
can
you give us a sense of just how impactful this technology has been? Like, what kind of insights has it revealed?
Well, I mean, one group, Climate Trace, is using a combination of satellite data, remote sensors, and AI to really track global CO2 emissions.
Okay.
And what they found is pretty shocking. They found that oil and gas production facilities are emitting almost double the amount of CO2 than they're reporting to the UN.
Really?
Almost double.
Wow. That's a huge discrepancy.
It is.
I mean, how do they even get away with that?
That's where this combination of satellite tracking and the Internet of Things comes in.
Oh, okay.
It makes it a lot harder to hide.
Yeah.
When you have a system like this.
So let's break this down a little bit more.
Okay.
When we say the Internet of Things, you know, for those who aren't necessarily tech savvy, can you just give us a really quick sort of basic explanation of what that is?
Sure. So think about it this way.
Okay.
All the devices in your house.
Right.
Your thermostat, lights, refrigerator, all connected to the internet.
Okay.
Communicating with each other. Now take that concept and apply it to the environment.
Okay.
So that's what we're talking about here.
Got it.
You have sensors on the ground, whether it's on a factory smokestack or a fishing boat, and they are collecting data and transmitting it to satellites.
Okay.
And then those satellites relay that information back to researchers.
So basically we're talking about a constant stream of data coming in from all corners of the planet.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
It helps us track things like deforestation, monitor the health of coral reefs, even understand the movements of endangered species.
Okay, I'm starting to see how powerful this could be.
Yeah.
So let's dive into some more specific examples.
Okay.
Our sources are really highlighting five key areas where satellite tracking and the IoT are making a difference.
Uh-huh.
So first up, saving endangered species.
Okay.
Now, this one really hits home for me.
Yeah.
You know, we're potentially looking at losing a third to half of all species by 2050.
Wow.
If we don't do something.
Yeah, that's a...
That's a pretty scary thought.
It is. It's definitely cause for concern.
Yeah.
But the technology we're talking about here is giving us some hope.
Okay, good.
So scientists are using these collars and tags equipped with satellite trackers.
Right.
To monitor animals in their natural habitats.
Okay.
And that helps us understand their movements and identify those critical areas that are needed for their survival.
So it's almost like giving each animal its own personal GPS tracker.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Okay.
And then that information is used to inform conservation efforts and protect those habitats.
Right.
It also allows scientists to study the impacts of climate change on animal behavior.
Okay.
Remember the Deepwater Horizon oil spill?
Mm-hmm.
Well, scientists use tracking data to see how sperm whales were being impacted by the disaster.
So it's not just about location then.
No.
It's also about understanding how they're adapting or not adapting to the changing environment.
Exactly.
Right.
And this data can even help combat poaching. Yeah. You see, by tracking endangered animals, we can sometimes predict their movements. And unfortunately, the movements of poachers that might be targeting them.
Oh, I see.
So this allows authorities to kind of deploy resources more effectively.
Wow.
Some areas are even using these smart camera traps that are triggered by the tracking collars.
Oh, wow.
So they can catch poachers red-handed.
It's like a high-tech wildlife security system.
You got it.
That's amazing.
And what makes it even more remarkable is that the satellite communication works even in the most remote areas.
Oh, wow.
Some of these tracking devices, you know, with the satellite modems, they're so small they can even be used on smaller animals like birds.
Wow. Okay, so let's move on to our next example.
Okay.
Monitoring those massive glaciers.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember learning about the importance of glaciers
Yeah.
in terms of like regulating global temperatures,
Uh-huh.
but I'm also aware that they're melting at an alarming rate.
It's true. Glaciers are incredibly sensitive to changes in temperature.
Right.
And as they melt, all that fresh water flows into the oceans, which contributes to rising sea levels.
Right.
And that poses a threat to coastal communities all over the world.
Of course.
But the technology that we're discussing is giving scientists a much closer look
Okay.
at how this is happening.
So how do you even track something as massive as a glacier?
Well, they don't attach like a giant tracker to the glacier or anything.
I was gonna say.
They use something called subglacial probes
Okay.
and ice trackers.
Okay.
And these are devices that can be placed on or even inside glaciers.
Really?
Yeah, to collect data on ice thickness, movement, and melt rate.
Okay.
And even in those harsh environments, they can use satellite communication to transmit the data back to the researchers.
So real-time data from inside a glacier, no matter how remote.
You got it. And it's not
Wow.
just glaciers they're tracking, you know,
Yeah.
those icebergs that break off,
Oh, right. Yeah.
those massive
They
icebergs.
can be huge. I remember seeing images of some that were like bigger than entire cities.
It's wild.
Why is it important to track those?
Well, for one, they can pose a significant risk to shipping lanes.
Oh, of course.
You know, remember that massive iceberg that broke off Antarctica a few years
I
back?
do, yeah.
Tracking these icebergs can help prevent collisions
Yeah.
and protect coastal communities.
Right.
Plus, the data helps researchers understand how these icebergs melt and impact ocean currents,
Right.
which is crucial for climate modeling.
It's amazing how something that seems so simple, like tracking, can have such far-reaching implications.
Yeah, you're right.
So, what's the next area where this technology is making a big impact?
Well, our next stop takes us to the oceans.
Okay.
We're going to look at how satellite tracking and the IoT are being used to combat overfishing.
Okay, this is something I'm personally interested in.
Yeah.
Now, I love seafood, but
Yeah.
with all the news about overfishing, it makes you wonder,
Yeah.
will we even have fish to eat in the future?
It's a serious issue. And, you know, it's not just about our dinner plates. I
Right.
mean, overfishing disrupts entire ecosystems
Right.
and can have devastating consequences for marine biodiversity.
So, how does technology help us manage this problem?
Well, they use something called vessel monitoring systems, VMS for short.
Okay.
These systems are essentially satellite IoT devices that are placed on fishing boats.
So is it like giving each boat a digital fingerprint that can be tracked?
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay.
So these VMS devices, they track a boat's location, its speed, how much fuel it's using, and even the size of its catch.
So if a boat's fishing illegally, they can't really hide anymore.
Not really, no.
Wow.
And because these devices use satellite communication, they work even when the boats are outside of cell phone range.
Oh, wow.
So that means authorities can monitor fishing activity all over the world in real time.
That's amazing.
And the data collected helps to enforce fishing regulations
Right.
and ensure the sustainability of our oceans.
I'm seeing a theme here.
Yeah.
It's about bringing transparency and accountability to industries that have historically operated kind of under the radar.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
And this is especially important when it comes to protecting our planet's resources.
Okay. So we've talked about endangered species, glaciers,
Yeah.
overfishing. What's next on our list?
Let's shift our focus from the oceans to the forests.
Okay.
We're going to talk about how satellite technology and the IoT are being used to combat deforestation.
Deforestation is something we hear about all the time,
Yeah.
but it's honestly hard to grasp the scale of the problem.
It is. It's a massive issue.
Yeah.
You see, forests act as giant carbon sinks.
Right.
They absorb CO2 from the atmosphere,
Yeah.
which helps regulate the climate.
Uh-huh.
But when they're cut down or burned,
Yeah.
all that carbon is released back into the atmosphere,
Yeah.
contributing to global warming.
So it's like a double whammy.
Yeah.
We lose the trees that absorb the CO2, and then we release even more CO2 into the atmosphere
Right.
when we burn or cut them down.
Right. It's like undoing all their hard work.
Right.
Unfortunately, you're losing forests at an alarming rate.
Yeah.
Imagine an area the size of Portugal disappearing every single year.
That's a staggering amount.
It is.
So how does satellite tracking help in this fight?
Well, satellites provide that bird's eye view, you know, allowing us to monitor deforestation in real time.
Okay.
They can detect changes in forest cover, identify areas that are being cleared, and even track the movement of logging equipment.
So it's like having a surveillance system for the entire planet's forests.
You could say that.
Wow.
And this information is used to alert authorities and put a stop to illegal logging operations.
Okay.
There are also some incredible examples of how the Internet of Things is being used on the ground to protect forests.
Oh, really?
For example, there's an organization called the Rainforest Foundation UK.
Oh, yeah.
They've developed a system called Forest Link, which allows indigenous communities living in the rainforests to send alerts when they detect illegal activity.
So it's about empowering local communities to protect their own environments.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
And what's amazing is that Forest Link can switch to satellite communication when cellular coverage is unavailable.
Oh, wow.
So that ensures that alerts can be sent from even the most remote areas.
So it's like a modern-day smoke signal, but using satellite technology to protect the rainforests.
That's a great way to put it.
I love how this example really highlights the human element of conservation efforts.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered four examples so far. Endangered species, glaciers, overfishing, and deforestation.
Mm-hmm.
What's a final area where satellite tracking and the IoT are making a difference?
Our last stop takes us back to the oceans.
Okay.
But this time, we're going deeper. We're going to look at how this technology is helping us understand ocean currents.
Now, I have to admit, ocean currents are a bit of a mystery to me. I know they're important, but can you explain why and how they're being impacted by climate change?
Well, they're like giant conveyor belts that circulate heat around the globe, regulating temperatures and making life on land possible.
Right.
But as the planet warms, these currents are being disrupted.
What kind of disruptions are we talking about?
Well, as the ocean absorbs more heat, the currents are speeding up in some areas and changing direction in others.
Wow.
And this can have a cascade of effects from disrupting marine ecosystems to intensifying weather patterns.
So it's not just about the water warming up. It's about the entire system being thrown off balance.
Exactly.
Right.
And understanding these changes is crucial for predicting future climate impacts and adapting to a changing world.
Okay, so how does satellite technology help us understand something as complex as ocean currents?
Well, scientists use something called data buoys, essentially floating platforms packed with sensors that collect all sorts of information about the ocean. Temperature, salinity, current speed and direction, even wave height.
Wow.
They're like little floating laboratories.
Okay, so we're getting all of this constant data about what's happening in the oceans.
Yeah.
But these buoys must be located in pretty remote areas, right?
Yeah, many of them are, yeah.
How does the data get back to the scientists?
That's where the satellite communication comes in.
Oh, okay.
Many of these buoys are in areas with no cell service.
Right.
So they rely on satellite modems to transmit their data back to shore.
Wow.
Providing researchers with real-time insights into the complex world of ocean currents.
This is all so fascinating.
It is.
It's incredible to see how technology is helping us unravel the mysteries of our planet.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, what does all this data actually tell us?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of insights are we gaining about the health of our oceans?
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's one that scientists are working hard to answer. The data we're collecting is helping us understand how climate change is impacting ocean currents.
Right.
And what the consequences might be for marine ecosystems, weather patterns, even coastal communities.
I have a feeling this is just the tip of the iceberg.
I think so too.
There's so much more to explore.
Yeah.
But I think for now we need to take a break.
Okay.
And let all of this information sink in.
Sure.
We'll be back soon to dive even deeper into the implications of this technology and how it's shaping the future of our planet.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned.
All right.
Satellite Evolution Global Podcast Series is sponsored by Proactive International PR, one of the leading global technology and marketing agencies that delivers integrated communications campaigns.
Welcome back to our deep dive into how satellite tracking and the Internet of Things are changing the way we understand and protect our planet.
Yeah.
Before the break, we were talking about ocean currents.
Right.
And how they're being affected by climate change.
Yeah. And it's not just a matter of the water getting a bit warmer.
Right.
These currents are incredibly complex systems that play a crucial role in regulating the Earth climate.
Right. You described them earlier as like these giant conveyor belts that circulate heat around the globe.
Right.
But what happens when those conveyor belts start to malfunction?
Yeah.
What are the real world consequences of disrupting these ocean currents?
Well, one of the most immediate impacts is on marine ecosystems.
Okay.
You know, countless species of fish and other marine life rely on these currents for transportation, feeding, and breeding.
Right.
Disrupting these currents is like throwing a wrench in the delicate machinery of the ocean.
Yeah, it makes you realize just how interconnected everything is.
It is.
We often think of the ocean as this vast and separate entity.
Right.
But it's really a vital part of the Earth's climate system.
Absolutely.
And when we disrupt that system,
yeah,
the consequences can be felt far beyond the ocean itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about changes in weather patterns, more extreme weather events like hurricanes and floods.
Yeah.
And even potential impacts on global food security.
It's true.
So it's not just about saving the whales or protecting coral reefs.
Right.
It's about understanding how the ocean impacts our lives in really profound ways.
Absolutely. And that's why the data that we're gathering from these data buoys and satellites
right.
is so crucial.
Okay.
It's giving us a real-time view of how the ocean is changing and helping us predict what those changes might mean for the future.
It's almost like having a crystal ball for the ocean.
Yeah.
But instead of like vague predictions, we're getting concrete data
exactly.
that we can actually use to make informed decisions.
That's a great analogy.
Thanks.
And this data isn't just valuable for scientists.
Right.
It's also being used by governments and policymakers to develop strategies for climate change mitigation and adaptation.
I'm thinking about all the coastal communities that are already facing the impacts right. of rising sea levels.
Right.
Having access to this kind of data could be a game changer for them.
It could.
In terms of like planning and preparedness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not just about reacting to climate change.
This data can also help us identify opportunities for proactive solutions.
Okay.
For instance, understanding ocean currents can help us optimize the placement of offshore wind farms.
Oh.
Or tidal energy generators.
Right. It's about harnessing the power of the ocean in a sustainable way.
Exactly. And that's where the real potential of this technology lies.
Okay.
Not just in understanding the problem, but in finding innovative solutions.
It's really inspiring to see how human ingenuity can be used to address these complex environmental challenges.
It is.
But I'm also curious, what are some of the limitations of yeah. using satellite tracking and the Internet of Things in this way? Uh-huh. Are there any drawbacks or challenges that we should be aware of?
That's a really important question.
Yeah.
And it's one that researchers and policymakers are grappling with.
Okay.
One of the biggest challenges is simply the sheer volume of data that's being collected.
Oh. Okay.
It's a massive amount of information to process and analyze. Mm-hmm. And it requires sophisticated algorithms and computing power to make sense of it all.
So it's not just about having the technology to collect the data.
Right.
It's also about having the capacity to actually understand and interpret it.
You got it.
Okay.
And that requires collaboration across different disciplines.
Right.
From oceanographers and climatologists to data scientists and software engineers.
Yeah.
It's a truly interdisciplinary effort.
I imagine there are also concerns about data privacy and security.
Of course.
Especially when we're talking about tracking fishing vessels or monitoring sensitive environmental areas.
You're absolutely right. Those are very real concerns.
Yeah.
And they need to be addressed through robust data governance policies and ethical guidelines.
Right.
It's essential to ensure that this technology is used responsibly and transparently.
Right. It's about finding the right balance between innovation
yeah.
and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
We want to harness the power of this technology.
Right.
Without compromising our values or creating new problems in the process.
I couldn't agree more.
So I want to shift gears a bit.
Okay.
And talk about another aspect of this technology that we haven't really touched on yet.
Okay.
Its potential for mitigating climate change, not just monitoring it.
Right.
Can you give us some examples of how satellite tracking and the Internet of Things are being used to actually reduce greenhouse gas emissions?
Oh, sure.
Or help us adapt to the impacts of climate change?
That's a fantastic question.
Yeah.
And it's an area where we're seeing some really exciting developments.
Okay, good.
One example is in the field of precision agriculture.
I've heard that term before, but can you explain what it is?
Yeah.
And how it relates to climate change?
Sure. So precision agriculture is all about using technology to optimize farming practices.
Oh,
By using sensors and satellite data, farmers can get a much more detailed picture of their fields.
Right.
They can monitor things like soil moisture, nutrient levels, crop health.
Okay.
All in real time.
That's amazing.
So this allows them to use water, fertilizer, and pesticides more efficiently, which reduces waste and minimizes their environmental impact.
So it's about farming smarter, not harder.
Exactly. And it's a win-win for both farmers and the environment.
Right.
By reducing inputs and minimizing waste,
uh-huh.
farmers can save money and reduce their carbon footprint.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Are there any other examples of how this technology is being used to mitigate climate change?
Another area where we're seeing a lot of innovation is in renewable energy.
Okay.
For example, some companies are using drones equipped with sensors to inspect solar panels and wind turbines.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah.
How does that help mitigate climate change?
Well, these drones can identify problems early on.
Okay.
Before they become major issues.
Right.
So that helps to ensure the optimal performance of these renewable energy systems.
Okay.
And maximize their efficiency.
So it's about making sure we're getting the most out of our clean energy investments.
Exactly. And that's crucial for transitioning away from fossil fuels and reducing our reliance on carbon-intensive energy sources.
Okay, so we're seeing how this technology is helping us to kind of reduce our impact on the environment.
Uh-huh.
But what about adapting to the changes that are already happening?
Right.
Are there any examples of how satellite tracking and the IFP are being used to help communities adapt to the impacts of climate change?
There are definitely some innovative applications emerging in this area.
Okay.
For example, some cities are using sensors and real-time data to monitor sea levels.
Okay.
And predict flooding events.
Okay.
This allows them to issue early warnings to residents.
Right.
And to deploy resources more effectively.
That sounds incredibly valuable, especially for coastal communities that are already experiencing the effects of sea level rise.
Absolutely. And this technology can also be used to monitor other climate-related hazards.
Okay.
Like wildfires, droughts, extreme heat events.
It's really about using technology to build resilience in the face of a changing climate.
Exactly. And that's going to be increasingly important as the impacts of climate change become more severe and widespread.
I'm also thinking about how this technology could be used to empower individuals to take action on climate change.
Right.
Are there any ways that satellite data or the Internet of Things is being used to kind of engage citizens and encourage them to make more sustainable choices?
That's a really interesting area, and it's one where I think we're just starting to scratch the surface.
Okay.
There are already some apps that allow people to track their own carbon footprint or connect with others in their community who are working on sustainability initiatives.
Right.
And as this technology continues to evolve, I think we'll see even more creative applications that empower individuals to make a difference.
It's exciting to think about the potential of this technology to not only inform us about the state of the planet, but to also inspire action. And create positive change.
It is.
This has been a truly eye-opening conversation.
Daz.
We've covered a lot of ground, from the scientific complexities of ocean currents to the practical applications of precision agriculture and renewable energy.
Absolutely.
But I'm sensing that there's another layer to this story, something that goes beyond the technology itself.
I think you're picking up on something important.
Okay.
While technology can provide us with the tools and information we need to address climate change, it's ultimately a human challenge that requires us to confront not just the physical impacts of climate change, but also the psychological and social barriers that prevent us from taking action.
That's a profound insight.
Thank you.
I mean, we can have all the data and technology in the world.
Right.
But if we don't address the human element, if we don't understand the psychology of climate change.
Yeah.
And how it shapes our behaviors and beliefs, then we're not going to be able to create the lasting change that's needed.
Exactly.
Right. This deep dive has certainly challenged my own thinking.
Good.
And I hope it's done the same for our listeners.
I hope so, too.
A big thank you to our expert for sharing your insights and expertise with us today.
The pleasure was all mine.
It's been a truly fascinating conversation.
Thanks for having me.
And to all of you listening, we encourage you to continue exploring these issues.
Yes.
Challenge your own assumptions.
Uh-huh.
And most importantly, take action.
Yes.
The future of our planet depends on it.
It does.
Until next time, keep diving deep.
That is all for this episode. Until next time, stay connected.